Maybe that's trying to say that the marathon of ministry now lies before us. And you're testing. The scripture today comes from Ecclesiastes. The first couple of sermons I'm going to offer to you here at Christ Church in some ways are get-to-know-you sermons, and they're sermons that I hope will illuminate a little of my own path and my own calling, who I am, where I come from, and where I perceive God is calling not only me, but us to go together as we follow in that calling that God has laid before us. And the scripture today comes from Ecclesiastes. This is one of what they call the books of wisdom of the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes is attributed to Solomon and is considered sort of the Proverbs, the wisdom of an old man at the close of life who has done so much in his life and looks back at all he's accomplished and now has these reflections which he pens in this book about what really is important and valuable at the end of it all. We're reading from the third chapter. This is the most well-known of the passages from Ecclesiastes. The birds, of course, made a song about it, for every season, turn, turn, turn. And it came from this. This is in the third chapter, the first 8 verses there, and it reads, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we are meeting here in this space, in this building, a holy place, a symbol of God's love for each one of us, a symbol of God's desire to be deeply involved in each one of our lives, to listen and hear God's word, which contains the assurances we need, forecasts of hope as our faith is challenged in seasonal change. We come to witness to our faith, which binds us together through all of the different seasons of life. But we can all too often allow worship to pass as a seasonal wind rather than to absorb into the soil of our hearts to sow seeds for the hopes of tomorrow. So my prayer is that, if nothing else today, that all of us would allow God's word as we just heard it in Scripture to find open ears and receptive hearts, because while there is a time and season for all things, the best answers to the big questions are to be found in the God who created us, the God who came to earth in Christ to show us the way to return to God again, and the God who goes ahead of us to prepare a place for us in eternity. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the meditations of my heart and mind and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. May we hear your word afresh. May it inspire us anew. In Christ's name, amen. I was 16 when this text was read in worship. A liturgist stood before the congregation and read it out at the church that my family attended in Rochester, New York. I was following along in the Pew Bible that morning, not something I always did, but something that morning I had chosen to do. And after it concluded with the eighth verse, the declaration was made by the liturgist, "This is the word of God," and we all responded, "Thanks be to God." We stood together and sang a hymn, and then the sermon followed. As the sermon began, I turned back to the text. I spent the time as this text was explained and proclaimed going back over that reading and reading what preceded and followed. I can't tell you what the sermon was about that morning. Worship concluded that day, went home, and I turned to this text again and read the remainder of this book, both perplexed and intrigued by what I read as I searched for that eternal wisdom that it held. The revelation concerning God and our life with God. And as I, through the day, turned back again and again to it, I heard a call. It was a call to help others hear and understand this word, not just these specific verses, but rather the biblical narrative, what we know as God's word, and its meaning and its application for their lives as well as my own. However, this challenged what I had always thought and believed, convinced myself that I wanted to be. Very few young people I know say, "I'm going to be a pastor." It's not necessarily something that the cool kids at school all proclaim. I wanted to be a farmer. A child's dream, a little boy's dream, driving big tractors and equipment, not understanding all the skills and headaches that went into managing a farm, so much more than playing in the dirt with big equipment. But I wanted to drive the machinery, and that was enough for me. Even at 16, this was still my dream in my mind, to till the soil, to work the land. And yet I knew, despite the familial links to this vocation, that this was not to be my future. So through those final years of high school, considering where I would attend college, what I would do with my life, in the midst of that struggle, in the seasons of change between 16 years old and 18 years old, I heard these words and felt this call, this challenge, one season ending and another beginning. I've come to understand through the years that my original aspirations of agriculture and my vocation and avocation of ministry are actually paired together. I've heard this truth in Jesus' call to those Galilean fishermen, not taking away all they knew and understood, but changing it as he declared he would now make them fishers of men, of people. It was and is the challenge to think and perceive differently about oneself and the possibility of one's life. For me, it was the challenge to know that I was indeed called from the beginning of life, from the time I was in my mother's womb, to, as I had always assumed, till the soil, plant the seed, and work the land. But I came to understand, as the seasons of life changed, that Jesus called me to see, to tweak a little of how John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, put it, to see the world as my field, to plant the seed of God's grace, and to work the land that was set before me in ministry. At 16, with this scripture in a season of change, came this transformation as I encountered God's grace in Christ toward understanding that this land was the hearts, minds, and lives of people. The seed was God's grace in Christ. The machinery, big machinery indeed, was God's word and sacrament, fueled by the power of prayer, led by the wind of the Holy Spirit in the due administration of the church. In other words, to share the love of God in Jesus Christ with the world, and in turn to transform it that the world might come to reflect bit by bit, person by person, church by church, field by field, season by season, the kingdom of God. I have visited over the years the literal, both the baptismal font, and the figurative, the family farms, beginning of my spiritual life. Both lie within the center of this country in the state of Iowa. And I have found there in my immersion within them the reminder of who I am and whose I am, of my calling, while bringing in the harvest, while tilling the soil, that I am called in other ways, to other fields, to other places. But the joy I have derived in exercising my childhood dreams, being given the opportunity to work the big machinery, pales in comparison to the passion I exercise upon returning to the land where God has called me to serve. That I was called to work for the harvest, to fulfill my childhood desire to operate big machinery using the greatest tool at my disposal, the word of the Lord. Seasons change, and the methods change. Some harvests are more bountiful than others. Some fields more productive than others, but the work is the same. And so it is that I have been called here. As the people here explored who they have been, the harvest of the past, and the hopes for the future, care and exploration was taken to think carefully, and with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the cabinet and bishop felt a connection between gifts and graces and needs and hopes. Together we discerned if I were right to lead here, to till this soil, as we sat awaiting the Spirit's movement. And in that time, a seed of hope and a future of growth was planted within us. I am overwhelmed by the possibilities as I look upon the field here. The opportunity for growth in so many different ways, most of all going back to what I experienced at 16 in my call, to help grow, empower others to hear God's word, to hear God's call through all the different seasons of their lives, and to be led wherever they may go to till the fields, to plant the seeds, to nourish others seeking to know and grow in their relationship to Christ for the transformation of the world. Amen? I have little doubt that we will have seasons ahead, both of bountiful harvests and challenge. No matter what the outcome, only one guarantee can I make, that we will grow. We will grow through losses and gains. We will grow as seeds of hope sprout in our individual lives and in our corporate life together, as our families change, as our understanding of God is enhanced, as our own sense of calling and belonging and growing together goes through the seasons. Which is why I find these words, which began my own journey, my call, to resonate on this day. We are in a similar place. Times remembered, but also new seasons that lie ahead. We are called to change the world. We are called field upon field, person upon person, place upon place, to labor. God calls us into many more seasons ahead, many great challenges, but also incredible harvests. The American poet Robert Frost said, "In three words, I can sum up everything I've learned about life. It goes on." God longs to be with us as our life goes on, to show God's love for us and to transform us, to turn our sorrow into joy and our mourning into dancing. God gives us revelations and truths to propel us ahead into new and different seasons. We can't change the seasons of life. We can only choose how we respond to them. We have all we need. We must remain committed to till the soil, to plant the seed, to nourish the plant, to encourage the growth. If we sow it, it will grow. Let us pray. As we gather amid the changing seasons, we recall those on whose shoulders we stand. We are blessed by that great cloud of witnesses who have fought and granted us the ability to be together, who worked to ensure that we could worship publicly, who worked to build this place of worship, who worked to live out their understanding of your call in their lives. We hold in our hearts this day all those who continue to protect our freedom and the gift of their service. While so richly blessed, we are challenged in life's wild, restless sea not to feel as though somehow the waves today are higher, the waters more turbulent than in the past. We read and listen and watch news from across this world, searching for signs of hope, and are left despairing. It often leaves us only looking back at what once was rather than ahead to what can be, where you call us, the places and people that we cannot yet see. That we are called into new seasons to till the soil, to plant the seed, to nourish the plant, and to encourage the growth. Even when it looks as if nothing will grow, especially when it looks as if nothing will grow because of war and poverty and hunger and homelessness and hatred and division and isolation, we are called to plant by words and ways of care and compassion and mercy and justice and collaboration. Help us to hear that call. Help us to give our hearts to serve and love you best of all. So let the Holy Spirit lead us now and through the seasons ahead as we recommit ourselves to Christ. Let us find in your holy word the source and inspiration for our hope and the tools we need to bring forth signs of your kingdom. This we pray, adding our own prayers this day through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.